Hi, I'm Chanel. A local organization is calling for businesses to have a domestic abuse champion. Space for Action provides training for companies on domestic abuse, how to spot the signs in the workplace, and what assistance can be offered to those who are victims. I spoke to directors Jessica Welch and Tam Wedgwood.
So Space for Action is primarily a training and advocacy business. We are an organization, we're not a charity, we're an organization that set up and were incorporated in around 2019 when we first started. And we're all about bringing the understanding of what domestic abuse is to local businesses, corporations, big businesses, and especially to the community. And being able to train people to understand the complexities of what domestic abuse means to victim survivors and to what it also means to other people who have to deal with it, and it's within and when it's in their life, because domestic abuse isn't just the victim survivors kind of concern. It's a ripple effect, and the amount of people that are kind of impacted by it, including wider family, friends, and including their businesses that they work with.
Domestic abuse is really common. It affects one in three women and one in five men, which even on an island this size is a lot of people, and it's always been very hidden. And I think people aren't aware of how prevalent it is. So that means victims feel alone, but also people who aren't affected by it don't realize how serious it is. So we sort of have a mission to educate so that victims know that they're not alone and there are people who understand and cope and will help them. And equally, so that we raise awareness of this is a serious issue, and as a society we need to do something about it. We have a big thing that it's, even though a lot of victims are women, this is not a women's issue, it's a social issue. There are male victims too, children are affected very badly by it, and our whole community needs to say this is not okay, and we will stand up against it and we will do something about it.
What steps does this organisation take in trying to help victims, or how can victims reach you?
We don't do face-to-face victim support simply because there's only two of us and it's not enough of us to do it, other than we do offer a 12-week recovery programme, which is called the Own My Life course. Anyone can self-refer into that course if they think they would benefit from it. It is a women-only course, unfortunately, that one. And equally, services or professionals who are working with people experiencing domestic abuse, they can refer people in as well. All you need to do is either email us or contact us through the website, and we have referral forms that you can just fill out. There's a questionnaire, because we do want to know that people are in a safe space and able to do it. We wouldn't normally have someone attending the course who is still in that relationship, because it could be very dangerous for them if their partner finds out they're attending a course.
And dangerous for the other women as well, who are on the course as well.
Yeah. But basically, it's very simple. It's just get in touch and we'll give you the necessary information. We do want to do a bit of a call out, because we are short of premises to run the course at the moment. So if anyone has premises that we could use, preferably free of charge, or certainly inexpensively, because at the moment we run this course at a loss. We are adamant that all victims and survivors should be able to access the course for free, but obviously there is a cost in terms of materials. There's a big course handbook that we have to buy, there's our time, and there is the cost of any premises. So the more help we can get with costs, the better, so that we can keep it going for women for free. And we really want businesses to step up, businesses with a social conscience to step up and say they will sponsor a place or two places on the course so that women can attend for free.
Can I ask, maybe Jessica, you can answer this. You mentioned you're running at a loss, but you still continue to do it. What drives that passion?
Oh my God, we haven't got enough time for that, I'm afraid. But so myself, it's been a passion of mine since I can remember. I have a very strong belief that every single person on this planet deserves to feel safe in their day-to-day lives. Nobody should be in a position where they are scared or fear for their life, especially around people who are meant to love them and take care of them. So for me, it's something that drives me, that everybody on this planet needs to take kind of some kind of social account for this, and that we can all help each other. It's just so taboo that people don't want to talk about it. And I think that's mainly because it's not that people don't want to help. it's because they don't know how to or what to do or how or what to say. And it comes down to, yes, you do have to be very mindful of how you kind of support somebody in domestic abuse. And I would never tell anybody out there to go full steam ahead and be a domestic abuse support worker unless you're trained in that knowledge and in that field, because it can be very dangerous. We know from statistics that the most dangerous time for any victim survivor is when they leave their partner, and most women are killed within the first 12 months of leaving that relationship. So it's very, very, very important that you understand how to support someone, hence why we have this passion about, it's not about sitting in a room with domestic abuse professionals constantly telling them what to do, because actually they know what to do and they're very good at what they do. We have to get the community to stand up. That old phrase of a village raises a child, or, you know, helps raise a person is also around the account of helping someone in a domestic abuse situation. Victim survivors are in the worst possible place when they are isolated and monopolized from society. So they're taking away from their work colleagues, they're taking away from their family, they're taking away from their friends, all in a very insidious way. But by doing that, what you're doing is you're creating a space that somebody can't act, hence why we took the name Space for Action, because we truly believe if you give somebody the space and give them the choices and to think about the decisions they can make, they will act in the right way. A lot of people will make that right decision and those right choices, but they need the space to act. So we are absolutely passionate about trying to help these people and make sure that every victim survivor has a choice in their own hands to make. And I could go on forever, but I'm not. So I'm going to give Tam a bit of airtime.
I don't have a lot to add to that. For me, it was that I survived domestic abuse and I had a lot of support around me. Both in the community, I told my neighbour because she asked me. I told her what was going on and I told other friends, and the whole community just rallied around our family and supported us. So I'm really keen on people not hiding it, but do ask for help, do tell people what's going on. But also the police were amazing. I had access to a sort of one-stop shop, which was a refuge plus law centre plus everything else you might need, support groups. And then I came to the island and found out there was nothing like that here. And it wasn't that I felt I still needed support, but I just thought, well, I got through because I had all that support. And I don't understand how people on this island are getting through without support. So I'm passionate that we need more support and we need more understanding.
And I can add that from a childhood, so I'm a survivor of childhood abuse. So in the sense of my father my mother suffered domestic abuse from my father. So I've seen it from a child perspective as well, and growing up in that household and, you know, trying to kind of piece together what's going on in your life and trying to understand where that safe space is so that you can, you know, thrive. And it's very, very, very difficult. And it doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, what kind of, you know, domestic abuse doesn't care if you're wealthy, poor, doesn't care what background you're from. If it's in your household, it's affecting every part of your life, and especially your mental health. So Tam and I are both very much, you know, ground roots up on this, and, you know, we won't stop. We'll just keep going and keep knocking on every door we can until we get through to everybody that we can.
Perfect. Now, you also have a call out for businesses. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, we are trying to set up a scheme across the island with small businesses that have a lot of face-to-face contact with their clients, so that they will understand the signs of domestic abuse, know how to recognise it. If they have concerns about a client, know how to ask safely and confidentially, and how to give them information or support. We don't want to say too much about it because we want this to be a service that victims know about and perpetrators don't know about. But any small business or community organisation that is interested in doing more to support victims in their community and in their client base, then please get in touch. And equally, We also have training for businesses, which is about supporting workers in your workplace, your employees, because again, with figures like 1 in 3, 1 in 5, every workplace on the island is going to have someone in there at some point who is experiencing abuse. And it's important that their colleagues and managers understand what's going on and know what to say, what not to say, how to help. And we'd love businesses to set up so that they have a what we call a domestic abuse champion in the workplace. So there's just, again, just one person, a one-stop shop. So you've only got to disclose what's happening once to that person. And then they will talk to managers, HR, whoever else needs to know, so that you're not having to retell your story over and over again in order to get help. Because people are going to need time off, maybe to go to court, maybe for medical appointments, whatever it is. And that can affect attendance figures. So management need to understand actually there is a valid, good reason around this and we need to be supportive.
It's such a big issue that actually in the UK they're writing a new documentation within trying to get it into legislation that companies need to build in a supportive time frame around anybody who discloses domestic abuse so that they are able to use that time to be able to have, like, you know, as Tam was rightly saying, go to see the solicitor or go to the police station to make a statement, or maybe they have to attend court, or maybe they have to go to a doctor's appointment. At the moment in time, if you think about somebody who's in an abusive relationship and is constantly being told what to do, when to do things, or followed, stalked, harassed, constantly, you know, in that state of kind of the term you hear a lot is walking on eggshells, when they're in that really high kind of anxiety. If somebody's saying to you, okay, let's get you out of there, but you've got 1 hour for your lunch, like, who's going to be able to do that? Who is going to be able to manage that? They can't do it in the morning because they're probably driven to work. They can't do it after the work because they're probably picked up from work. And if they're not, they may be timed to go coming home from work, etc. So there's a big push in the UK about driving this within businesses because it's absolutely vital, because actually when you go to work, it is kind of an area where you can sometimes, you can feel safe, especially if you know that your business has been trained and understands what domestic abuse is. We have a huge push at the moment at the Agenda for Mental Health, and I absolutely agree with that. It's very important. We're talking about putting mental health workers into workplaces. We're talking about people having first aid mental health kind of champions. And that's all really great and good, but understanding that possibly the mental health is a symptom of actual what is going on at home. So if you're only dealing with that on a very, very small scale, all you're doing is putting a plaster on it. So it needs to go deeper. It needs to be, businesses need to go bigger.
And I was just going to add, we always say that businesses do have to have first aiders in the workplace. They have to have fire marshals. There's health and safety training, health and safety reps. And we think given the figures, like I say, 1 in 3, then it should be just as important that businesses, it should be mandatory really, that businesses have domestic abuse training and a domestic abuse officer in the workplace, because all those workers are more likely to be impacted by domestic abuse than they are by a catastrophic fire or health and safety incident. And equally, although the person experiencing the abuse is obviously suffering, their work product is probably going down, their concentration will be affected and all the rest of it, but potentially, because of the stalking and harassment side particularly, everyone in that workplace could be at risk if that violent partner comes into the workplace. So it is a safety issue, and we think people need training and they need to take it seriously and invest in it.
Definitely. Tell me about your recovery programme. It's the only one on the island?
Yes, it is. It's called Own My Life. It stems from older courses like the Freedom Programme from the UK. It was written by a lady in the UK who used to be a Freedom Programme trainer. But it's been brought up to date with a lot of trauma-informed practice. It's not a support group. It's not somewhere where women have to come and tell us what happened to them. We absolutely do not need to know anything about what's happened to them. They don't need to speak about it at all. It is more theoretical, explains domestic abuse, how it happens, how you get caught up in it, the effect it has on you, how psychological symptoms are normal because you've been subjected to trauma, and understanding how to recover from trauma, coping mechanisms. There's bits about relaxation and stuff like that. There's a lot of information about traditional roles of women in society and how patriarchal systems have allowed domestic abuse to get a hold, so that it's now kind of intrinsic. Lots of interactive stuff, lots of videos that we watch. And obviously we are discussing difficult topics. It's a different topic each week, but believe it or not, we do have fun as well. Yeah. And there is laughter as yeah. well. We don't want people to be scared of doing it, because it really is. The women, both in the UK and on the Isle of Man, all the feedback has been really positive. Yeah. And yeah. all the Isle of Man women who've done it say they 100% recommend it, and you really should do it.
We've got some women who, well, we have one lady who basically, so they get given a manual that they follow through the whole process, and it's kind of module based, so you do one module every week. So we run it for 12 weeks, and it's for 2 hours every week. And we have some women who have said that it's like become like their Bible, because it's such an intelligently written and book that it's something that you can refer back to constantly. It's not just about being there in the here and now about what's happening and understanding it. It's something you can go back to and flick through kind of different modules to kind of realize. So, because we all know abuse doesn't just stop when relationships finish, it can continue for years and years and years. So sometimes a lot of these women might not be in that relationship, but they may still have points of contact where the abuse still affects them. That could be around child contact, solicitors, or even court issues. So they use that book, even when they're finished, to go back to understand their own behaviours and their psychological thinking, so that they can actually feel normal, and that actually everything that's going on in their life is completely right. And you're not, as a lot of women think, that they are going crazy, or that they just, you know, they're saying the wrong thing, they're doing the wrong thing. This book gives them, this massive, amazing book gives them a lot of confidence and a lot of kind of, yeah, makes them feel good, doesn't it? I mean, one lady sleeps with it under a pillow.
Yeah. So, yeah. And a couple of other women have actually used material from the book in order to argue their case in yeah. family court, because now yeah. they understand it and they can express it. Yeah. So it is a really, really helpful tool. That's not to say it's an easy course, because you've got to be willing to yeah. face up to nasty issues. Yeah. And, you know, it is going to, it's inevitably, it is going to take you back to things that happen that you'd yeah. rather forget about. And but if you persevere, it is really, really rewarding. And the word they use is life-changing. Yeah.
And that's why we do, once you refer, you can self-refer again, you can be referred through a professional, etc. But we do an assessment with that victim survivor, so that we can understand that they are in the right place to learn. The worst thing is to get somebody on the course and then for them to be triggered so badly that they go backwards in their recovery, or that they just find that they just don't ever come back, or, you know, kind of find themselves into a bit of a spiral. And that's something that we don't want to do, because the Isle of Man, unfortunately, is not the greatest of, we don't have the greatest support framework. So we're lucky that we do have the Children's Centre support us with the recovery programme, and they have a domestic abuse worker in the Children's Centre, so we will do referrals. So if we find that they need that extra kind of support once they're in the course, we can refer them to that worker, so they can have some individual kind of one-to-one. Because again, as Tam said before, we don't do one-to-one work because we just don't have the time. We do this because we love it, and we do this because we want to make a difference, and we want people to be safe and happy and well in their lives. But we have to do day jobs to pay us to get to do it. So we cannot do one-to-one face work. So we reach out to other members, but there's not enough of it on the island. So we have to be very careful on opening those cans of worms, because we would never want to do that and have nowhere to send them and for them to be supported.
Yeah, we often talk about a community safety net. That's what we want to create, because two people cannot support every victim. But if we can have people who are trained and understand in every community, every housing estate, every workplace, then that is a safety net for our community, and that's what we need.
You've got always someone to turn to then, haven't you?
Yeah. No, perfect. I think my last question would be, you mentioned 1 in 3 women and 1 in 3 men. Do you have figures of how many people are abused on the island, facing domestic abuse on the island, or is there an increase, or has there been an increase?
It's 1 in 6 men, not 1 in 3.
It is quite hard to get statistics on the Isle of Man. Partly that is because we've literally only just got a domestic abuse law, So in the past, it was the same in the UK and most countries, but in the past, domestic abuse couldn't be prosecuted because it wasn't an offence. So someone would be charged with assault or grievous bodily harm or something along those lines. So therefore, the statistics, it was hard to unpick from that which are domestic abuse. And of course, again, because it wasn't a crime, an awful lot of domestic abuse wouldn't be in those crime statistics anyway. And I think as an island, it's true to say we're not good or haven't been good at collecting data. Mm. What we do know is that research worldwide always comes up with very close to the same figures of 1 in 3, 1 in 5, 1 in 6 men, 1 in 5 children. Mm. It's 1 in 3 teenage relationships. Mm. So, you know, it's logical to assume that the proportions are the same on the Isle of Man. I think there's extra problems on a small island because there's fewer places to go to escape it. It shouldn't be that you've got to leave the island to get away. And I think sometimes it does get to that point. There was a study in 2019, a joint strategic needs assessment, which came up with some figures for the Isle of Man. But it was, generally speaking, the figures were reached by extrapolating from UK figures and putting in adjustments. So it was a sort of a bit of a guessing, an intelligent guess, but it's not. We're hoping now that there is a law, and hopefully now as we start to get professional services that can start recording data, then we will be collecting data and we'll get figures.
And we ask, when we do our training with any organisation, we do stress very much about, you know, if they're going to start getting involved in this and understanding it and doing it in their workplace, that they do try and collect some statistics and understand their own records. Because again, it's really important that we start building a culture of building that data. As Tam said, we've just not been great at it as a whole. And again, it's back to education and understanding that as well. But we need to drive the language out in the community.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.